welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. So lately, my heart has been really stirred in faith, and it's like I'm revisiting faith all over again, the nature of faith and the purpose of faith. And Dave and I were talking about it last week, and just all the different aspects of faith and what it means. And will Jesus find faith when he comes back to the earth? Again, you know, that's a question in the Bible. Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes back? Will he find it? And, you know, it's interesting that that was posed as a question, right? It's because it's possible that he won't, right? And I'm like, Lord, I want to be the person that you say, there's faith right there. She's holding on to every word that's come out of my mouth. And so I believe the Lord is just, and I wrote a little thing on it on Facebook, and just what the Lord was showing me at the time. But when Dave and I were talking about this whole thing, he brought out a scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when he said that scripture to me, it just was like a zinger to my heart. And I just started meditating on that and studying it out a little bit. And, you know, I think we probably, because we've been in the church world probably most of us for most of our lives, or at least have heard this scripture, man shall not live by bread alone. We probably associate it with Jesus being tempted in the wilderness because that's what he said to the devil. He quoted that scripture. He was quoting from Deuteronomy. And that's where I want to start out. And I'm like, oh, you know, I probably maybe knew this at one point in time that was from Deuteronomy, but it wasn't like fresh in my head. But as I read it, a couple things really stood out to me. And now my words will stick out to me better with my glasses on. So this is Moses talking to the children of Israel, and he's reminding them of the 40 years, the 40-year trek through the desert, and all the things that God had done for them. He was reminding them of all the things and all the signs and the wonders. And it was just this huge, long spiel he was giving them. And this was before they entered into the promised land. And so at this point, he talked about a lot of the things that had happened. And then he said, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And I'm going to pause right there real quick, but, you know, I know for me, I spend most of my time scripture reading either in like the New Testament or Psalms and Proverbs, and, you know, throw in an old, you know, a prophet for good measure. I'll admit too that it's rare that I visit Deuteronomy on a regular basis and or Numbers, you know, and but I felt compelled to read this and to really study it out. You know, it actually, I mean, it's good for us to stay in the New Testament because that's our covenant with the Lord. That's how we get to know our lifeline with him and how we interact with him now and what promises that we have as new covenant believers. But there is something about going to the Old Testament that shows you why God even needed to change the covenant from the old to the new. And it shows you his position on things back then. And we are told that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, even though he has revealed himself in a new way through the new covenant. So I'm just throwing that in there, something that I was processing. You know, God, you really show yourself as a powerful, holy God, you know, who doesn't look at things. He looked at things very, very black and white, you know? And so that, and the taste that we get in the New Testament is he's still holy, he still sees things black and white, but now we're not under that intense scrutiny when we're in Christ, because we're a new creature, and he sees the holiness of Jesus in our stead. Anyway, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know. This is Deuteronomy 8, if I didn't say that. Nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. I won't finish reading that. So I love that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy in that moment where the devil was tempting him, and I'll read that account in a little bit. But Moses is telling them, this is why the Lord gave you manna. He gave you manna to humble you so that you would know that you don't live by what you can make alone. The thing that you're used to and the formula in which you've lived your life and the ingredients that it took to create the bread, that's not your only way. You know, when you're in a place where you can't really do that anymore and you're out of supply, I have something fresh from heaven that you don't know anything about. And when those moments, and I think we're in this moment right now, the same moment. You know, we've been kind of trekking through 2020, and it feels like it's been 40 years of 2020. And, you know, but there is a, in the midst of it, though God didn't cause disaster, I don't believe that's his nature. I believe that there is a trying of our faith right now and a testing to see, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes back on the earth to rule and reign? And did you recognize that it can't be what you're used to? How you're walking, you're being required to walk a different way now. And to receive from the Lord only what he can provide in a way that only he could do. And these things are meant to humble us. Scripture says that Israel was given to us as an example of our relationship with God. And that's for the new covenant believer. So it really is important, I think, for us to revisit the story of the Israelites. I mean, how can you get away with it, away from it? When you read the Bible, I mean, Israel's all over the place, and what they did and how they did it and how they responded and what they didn't do, what they should have done, and all those things. That is for us to learn from. And it's just good to remind ourselves of that. So I think when Moses is explaining to them, this is why God sent manna. You thought it was because you were really hungry, but he wanted to give you something that you knew nothing of. And he wanted to know that you could, he wanted to teach you that you don't live by what you know. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So manna was given to the children of Israel to humble them. Manna is an example of God's strength, God's provision, and God's ingenuity as opposed to man's strength, provision, and ingenuity. And we see in the example of Abraham and Sarah, you know, there was the promise, and we know this one backwards and forwards. There was a promise of a child, and there was no way to accomplish it. And it took years and years and years for the promise to come to pass, to where Sarah thought, well, you know what, let's help the situation. I'm going to give my husband my maidservant, and that will be how his lineage and how God's promise will be fulfilled. She took matters into her own hands. And I think, I know for me today, it's a struggle to not try to figure it out and how God is going to do something. How is he going to perform the thing that he promised? How is he going to do it? And we come to a point where it is totally beyond our means. We are without bread in the desert. We can't see. And yet, this is where God led us. This is what he promised, that he would bring us to a promised land and to a land flowing with milk and honey. And here we are hungering. But God allowed Israel to hunger. And I think he's allowed us to hunger. So he can be the only thing that would provide what we need. So we could see his deliverance come by his hand and with his ingredients and his formula, his ingenuity. I overrate my figuring it out power a lot. And Sarah did too. And there was a great consequence to her meddling with the promise of God. And that produced a nation that was against Israel to this day. It was a pretty humongous mistake on her part. And Abraham, I mean, he had to actually do the duty, right? Anyway. So as I was preparing this, you know, manna can represent a lot of things, but I think one way we can look at manna is faith, that faith is our present-day manna. And it's something that God gives us to begin with, but it's something that we have to learn how to walk in and not be satisfied with the old, and to pull on and really, like, take the training wheels off as believers and as we grow, to really take the training wheels off and say, you know what, I am not going to live by training wheels alone. I'm going to learn how to ride this thing and to grow in strength. So when Jesus was, Scripture says that the Holy Spirit in Luke 4, after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And I like the way the King James says it, or the New King James. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, which is interesting because Moses was talking to the children of Israel right before they crossed the Jordan to get into the promised land. And so the Holy Spirit led him into Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He went the other way than the children of Israel went in, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. I just love these little cool things, you know, because they were in the desert for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. and he was being tempted by the devil, just like the children of Israel were being tempted to not believe God. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And I don't know if we can fully appreciate the level of temptation that Jesus was faced with. He knew he was fully God. He had just been baptized. The Holy Spirit had just descended upon him in a public way. So, you know, this was, and he knew that he was capable of miracles. And there's this meme on Facebook that's kind of funny. It's a cartoon. And it's like, I wonder what Jesus was like when he was a baby, you know, and his mom's trying to give him a bath and he's standing on the water and won't let it, you know, himself get wet, and it was kind of cute, but who knows? Who knows what it was like being toddler Jesus and, you know, the mother of God during that time? But he knew what he was capable of, and so the level of the temptation that he was faced with in the desert can't be compared to the level of temptation that the children of Israel face or that we face on any level today, because he knew that at any moment he could just, you know, snap his fingers and make it. But he was on the earth for a reason, and he was submitted to the Lord, and he was submitted to the process of everything. And so when the devil came to him, the devil also knew these things about Jesus. He knew what he could do. He knew who he was, and he knew that he was very hungry. And so in that opportune moment, because the enemy is opportunistic, he comes at a weak moment when Jesus was feeling the burn. And he said, if you wanted to, you could feed yourself. You could make yourself some bread right now when that tastes good. And the fact is that Jesus could have. He really could have done that. And yet he said to the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And that was his sustenance. In that moment, that is where faith met real life for him. And far and above the temptations that we understand. But I love that. I love that he used faith in place of what his body craved in that moment. You know, so the devil tempted his miraculous power to meet the very present yearning of his physical body. And so, you know, when Jesus was ministering, well, let me go back. The first example of Israel receiving bread from the Lord was him. He was taking care of them while he was testing their faith. And they were fresh out of Egypt, although God had revealed himself in such powerful, powerful ways that he wasn't going to let them just ride on that experience of seeing his glory. And we're getting ready to see the glory of God in great and miraculous ways. And this is a time for us right now to say, "Lord, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need your presence to keep me grounded, because what we're going to see is so miraculous, miracles through our hands, and the glory pouring out all over the earth, things that we've desired to see for so long. We're getting ready to see this." And I'm not saying this because God spoke that to me, but I have believed words of the prophets who have said this. And it's been, if they've disagreed on anything, they've agreed on this, that the glory of God is getting ready to be poured out over the earth. And I'm believing it, man, and I want to be ready for this. So the example of the Israelites being fed manna is like the stage one of faith in God. You know, they had seen him work powers without faith. It didn't require their faith for these things to happen. But to receive manna from heaven, the Bible says that was humbling them, and it was testing their faith, which is interesting to me. You know, it humbled the pride in their own hearts to receive that manna from the Lord. That's kind of like baby step faith, God revealing himself in that way. Jesus, what he did was meant to be an example to how he wants us to respond. And he says, you can do the things that I did, and you're going to do greater things that I did. So does this make sense what I'm saying? It's like a maturing of our faith is, we're at the precipice of this thing, of the maturing of our faith, because our faith is being tried right now. And who will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord, or will you believe other things that aren't the report of the Lord? And Jesus demonstrated the ability to, even in his very weakest moment and vulnerable moment, with the hugest temptation, probably one of the biggest temptations that he faced on the earth, I think, even outside of Gethsemane. I mean, I think this was it right here, the temptation of Christ. And it set the precedent for all of his ministry. But this is where we're at right now. Will we live by what we know, or will we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, which comes to us in relationship with him and a vibrancy with him? So Jesus was ministering to the woman at the well in John 4. Remember, she was out getting her water, and she was an outcast from her society because of her position. And Jesus told her everything about herself, and she was super impressed. And during this time, the disciples had gone away to get something to eat. And when they came back, the disciples said, "We have food here for you." And Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you don't know anything about." And the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." So manna can be given to us when we're in a desperate time of need, when there's no other option. Manna can be used by us to overcome the enemy, as Jesus used the manna, the word of God, to strengthen him, even though his physical body wasn't being strengthened. He was being strengthened by resisting the devil, using the very word of God, the manna from on high. And then as we mature in our faith, like Jesus did, our fulfillment and our sustenance comes from using the word of God to minister to others. And Jesus confused his disciples when he was speaking of spiritual things, but he was saying, listen, my will, the meat of everything that I do, what I'm satisfied doing is just what God has for me to do. And I believe, again, that this is something, you know, that we can walk in every day. And as we mature, it takes maturity to be filled by doing the will of God. And that is our everyday manna. So Jesus was filled by something that was totally void of human conjuring. Jesus practiced this behavior when he used God's word against the devil. He resisted using his power to fulfill his physical need in the moment of temptation, but replaced his ability, his power, to create bread from a stone with the sustaining power of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The more we find our fulfillment by God's promise to us, the less we feel the need to help him fulfill it. We will begin to see the fruit of this manifest in our day-to-day small lives, in our conversations. I think sometimes if we have a propensity to control other people and to control situations around us, that will decrease in our lives the more we depend on the Lord to fulfill his promise to us. When our faith grows, our dependency, this is a term the Lord gave me a few years ago, but dependency transferring. We're setting our expectation on God, and automatically we eliminate that expectation from being placed on other people or situations around us. So if we're prone to try to control our lives, our situation, or the people around us, our day-to-day lives will be drastically transformed. I might know a little bit about that. when you put your trust in the Lord and our dependency becomes transferred onto him, it's less is required of the people around us. And I think that's an incredible freeing way to live. And it might seem like a small microcosmic thing in the scheme of the kingdom of God, but when we start living that way, we develop a reputation with ourselves, with others, and with the Lord. And pretty soon it becomes the substance of who we are and how we live our life. And there's so much more freedom for the Lord to direct us in the way that we should go because we trust him. It's easy when we say it. It's easy just to connect the dots. But where the rubber meets the road is when we can actually, in that moment of life, where push comes to shove, you know what, I'm going to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, and his nature and character is part of that living word. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. We shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so this will be the manna that we will resist the devil and temptation and speak words of life over those who are seeking. And to be filled with this manna from on high, it really requires humility, because that's what the Lord says he was doing with the children of Israel, is humbling them. It requires humility, requires trust and obedience to the Lord. I thought Brooklyn had a word for a minute. So really, this is the long and the short of it. I just felt like, personally, the Lord, that my faith is being summoned to a place where it's never been. And I never remember my dreams, hardly ever, but I had a dream where I prayed for somebody, and it was this whole weird context, but I prayed for somebody's wrist, and they were immediately healed. And it was like they, I don't even think they were a believer. And I feel like the Lord is going to start ministering to us, even in the night, you know, visions of what he's calling us to do, things he's calling us to step out in that we've never done before. We've never seen it done this way before, but it's the very word that came out of the mouth of God that will sustain us and it will bring sustenance to those around us. So can we just lift our hands, and I'm going to pray a blessing over this word, a sealing blessing. So Lord, we just seal your word in our hearts this morning. We open our hearts to you, God, just to establish in us what is required of us in this hour, and it's to have faith in God. Lord, we just open our hearts and our minds up to what you're doing and how you want to use us, and reveal to our hearts and our minds what it is that you're saying on every level. We can be available to you, that we can receive sustenance from you, that we can rebuke the devil with the words that you give us, that we can heal the sick, and we can speak words of hope and encouragement to those who are seeking. Lord, that cities and towns will be saved because of obedience that we're walking in with you, Father. Every word that comes out of your mouth, let it be life and sustenance to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and I bless everybody who's listening and receiving now. Amen.